Holy Gospel today is taken from the 11th chapter of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord. All I'm going to do right now is tell some jokes. You're not going to like any of them, but it's too bad, because they're jokes anyway. All right. All right, here's just a couple. The only reason I get to do these jokes is because in the text, Jesus said knock. So you have a couple knock-knock jokes. That's the only reason. But I'll start with, what kingdom in the Bible made the best sandwiches? Babylonia. And they will get worse. Where did Isaiah get the prophecy of Jesus' birth? He looked at Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is for my son Isaiah, who I told him last night. Knock, knock. Isaiah. Isaiah prayer every morning. I know. Two more. That's all. I'm just doing two more. Knock, knock. Luke. Luke both ways before you cross the street. It's the last one, I promise. Knock, knock. Reverend. Will these jokes, Reverend? That was horrible. I'm sorry. Well, I still do think about the prayer boat quite a bit. I was trying to think of the image for the kids and for us, for that matter. And I think it's still a good image to think about because with sailboating anyway, when you sail, the wind is the thing that you're working with. And at the end of this prayer, that's what's promised. The breath of God, the Holy Spirit, that's what's promised for us in this prayer. If you're going to pray, pray for these things. And the Spirit will come. And it will guide you. And so when I was thinking about this boat, I was thinking, prayer is really, there's two types of prayer. The stop prayer and the go prayer. And Jesus in this scene is praying. He stopped. And the disciples say, teach us how to do this. So they stop and listen. And so that's one way to pray. We stop, and whether it's right before a meal, giving thanks, or any time you give thanks, that's kind of like a stop prayer. You stop, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for that safe journey. Thank you that my children are home. Thank you that I learned this thing. Thank you for this encounter with these three kids creating prayer boats. That's the stop kind of prayer. But then there's the go kind of prayer. And that's where those big ears... Have you seen those rabbits with those giant ears? I mean, they're enormous. And every day as we sat outside when we were in Texas on the farm, the two dogs would suddenly, that were there, they would just take off and you wouldn't see anything. And suddenly, there would go that giant jackrabbit with those giant ears and they'd follow and then it'd go back that way and they could never catch it. But it had these enormous ears because it could keep track of those dogs making sounds. I think that's a good image for us when we think about prayer and what the disciples are after. Because this isn't the Lord's prayer. This is our prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. The Lord said, this is how you all should pray. Because that's the context of this prayer in Luke. It's how we all pray together. How we all open up our ears and listen for God. How we open our sails. God, is that a thing we should do? Yes. Or maybe not, because we don't hear it or we don't feel it. That's a go prayer. So in your lives, think about that. When you stop to give thanks, that's one way to pray. But then when it's time, should I be doing this thing? And in your life, there is probably a thing that you've thought about that you need to do. Open your ears. Lift the sail up. And the promise is the Spirit will come and guide you in that decision. Now, always with prayer, there's always the challenge, it's almost a contradiction. You know, I'm going to pray for this person, and the thing we thought should happen because I'm praying for this person, please be healed, happens. And then I pray for this person, please be healed, and it doesn't happen. All of you, I'm sure, have experienced that type of scenario as you've prayed. You pray for this thing because you know, I mean, God's will is for this person to be healed, especially children. Shouldn't be meant to suffer. I mean, we all know that to the depths, whether it's ourselves personally or then in our community or in our country or in the world. Why this, God? Why this? Why this? And I think Jesus is saying, I'm not giving you that kind of thing to think about when you think about prayer. Because that's God's business. That is always God's business. And we don't know God's business other than that God loves us and promises to be with us. Even in suffering. Even in the midst of death. The last prayer that Jesus said, the last breath on Jesus' mouth, the last words before he died in this gospel was, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That word also means release. And there may be in your life or in the life of someone else, it might be time to release or to forgive. And that's hard to do. That's probably the toughest go prayer. But that's what's central in this Gospel of Luke. Forgiveness and release. That's what's central in this prayer. Being forgiven. Releasing. And then he gives some examples. It's like the dad. Someone comes and asks me, if Isaiah comes and asks me for an egg, I'm not going to give him a scorpion. Although in Texas I might have if I found one. And if me, someone who tries my best to be a dad, can do okay, how much more can our God give us? Our God knows. Even in the midst of those contradictions where you think, God, why? God knows. And maybe it's just a matter of opening that sail a little wider, a little broader. And maybe it's a matter of Beth and I and all of us as a community that you all pray like this, holding our sails together. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe that gets us to that truth and that forgiveness and that peace and that grace and that mercy and compassion. This guy named Michael Fink, he's a pastor at Ebenezer Lutheran Church in Chicago. I looked it up. It's an ELCA church, so he's got to be good. But but this is what he says. Beyond all these contradictory things like why, you know, all that stuff, Jesus' invitation consistently draws me in. It's Jesus' persistence. And he says, when you pray, name God as your God. Yearn for God's reign. Ask for that which sustains you. Ask for the hard stuff, the impossible stuff, and expect to be held, challenged, blessed, and changed by the Holy Spirit. I like that summary. I like that summary a lot. I said this is the disciples' prayer. That's probably a better way to think about it. So Jesus says, this is how you pray. Set sail. But he says, this is how you all pray. All of you set sail together. Now, if you've ever seen a single sailboat going around, or like a single balloon in the air, that's pretty cool. But when you see two or three balloons, or two or three sailboats, or 100 balloons in the air, or 100 sailboats, that's an armada. That's a huge array of these sailing crafts going through the water. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. And there's a lot of work to make those things happen, but when that armada comes at you, it's amazing. And maybe that's what it is with prayer for us. Maybe that's how it starts for us, how love goes into the world finally. When we all together spread our sails out and listen for God. Is it time to go, God, together? Is it time to go to change this family, to change this community, to change Lacey, to show love in the world? Because when an armada of love comes at you, it's the most powerful thing in the world. And it all begins with our Father. Hallowed be your name. Help me to go. Amen.